I'm Korva Coleman. This is Tomi Moore from NPR News. Just ahead, handing out copies of the Quran to non-believers. But first, a study released last week by the National Women's Law Center and the Mexican American Legal Defense and Educational Fund, or MALDEF, considers why so many Latina teens are dropping out of high school. Joining us now to talk about this is Veronica Rivera, education policy attorney for MALDEF, Linda Chavez, chair of the Center for Equal Opportunity, and Claudia Sanchez, who is NPR's education reporter. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Korva.
The study is called Listening to Latinas, Barriers to High School Graduation. Veronica Rivera, in brief, what did you find were the most important barriers?
One of the most important barriers is the fact that 53% of young Latinas are pregnant before the age of 20, and that is a major barrier in preventing them from graduating. At this time, we find that 41% of Latinas are not graduating from high school.
That's a high rate. Is that the single greatest, or would you identify other ones as well?
There are other factors as well, other barriers specifically. There is still a lot of gender discrimination and ethnic discrimination going on in the high schools. And also, in terms of discrimination, low self-esteem is involved with the Latina students because there's not really much that is required from them from their own from the administrators and their own teachers. They sometimes stereotype them and track them to go into cosmetology maybe instead of the higher technical careers. And there's a lack of role models for these young women.
Claudia Sanchez, NPR correspondent. High dropout rates are not unique to Latinas. So are Latinas faring better or worse than Latinos, young males?
It seems that based on their newest data that Latinas are almost as bad as Latino boys. But, you know, I'd like to preface what I'm about to say, though, with this. And this is a caveat. Dropout data in this country is incredibly inaccurate. Every state has its own method, its own definition of dropouts. And I think we should keep that into consideration. Not that I doubt any of the data or how serious the problem is, but we really do have to take the data with a grain of salt. We really don't know how serious the problem is. It could be worse. The other thing is that, you know, what's astonishing here is that back in 2001, the American Association of University Women did a very similar study. At the time, the dropout rate for Latinas was 30%. Now it's 41%. So something is going terribly wrong in schools, even though we have the data to show that, you know, there clearly is a huge gap and a huge problem in America's schools. And I'll point out a couple of things. Hispanic girls today are underrepresented in gifted and talented and advanced placement courses. Hispanic girls are less likely to take the SAT college entrance exam, and therefore they're less likely to get into that pipeline towards college. Only 10% of Hispanic women complete 4 more years of college. I mean, it's outrageous that 8 years later, after that initial headline in 2001, Latinas today continue to drop out more often than any other racial or ethnic group and are the least likely to earn a college degree. So where is the urgency is my question, you know, and although I don't blame entirely, you know, what is going on in America's public schools, the negligence, some of the things that Ms. Rivera talks about in terms of the stereotyping, I think that an enormous amount of this problem lies within the family itself. Whether it's the cultural stereotyping that goes on within the family, where you have an enormous amount of pressure on young Latinas to, for example, essentially boyfriends who pressure their girlfriends into not becoming quote unquote educated, or parents who say, no, you got to help in raising your siblings, or, you know, we'd rather have you get married and have kids. I mean, that is a message that I have come across in just about every story I've done about Latinas struggling through high school.
Linda Chavez, what do you believe are the causes? Have you found what Claudio Sanchez is describing in your work?
Well, absolutely. And in fact, Claudio's caveat about the dropout data is very important because we don't really have a good handle on the extent of dropout rates for any group, and I think it's particularly true for Latinos. In this particular study may not suffer from some of the problems that are related to other studies related to Hispanic dropout rates. But often what is not taken into account is whether or not the people being talked about were actually being educated in the United States, when you hear figures from the current population survey data, which is often the data that's used to describe dropout rates, that includes huge numbers of people who completed the education such as it was before they came to the United States. About half of the adult population of Hispanics in the U.S. is foreign-born, and many came here after completing 5, 6, 7 years of schooling abroad. So the data is not great, but I would agree with what Veronica said in terms of the problem of teen pregnancy. This is a tremendous problem in the Latina community, and it's frankly something that's been going on for a very long time. I taught at the University of Colorado back in 1970, and of my incoming freshman class of Mexican-American students, half of the girls got pregnant before the end of the first year. So the figures that we're hearing today, frankly, have remain pretty constant over time, and it is a severe problem that is going to impede the ability of Hispanics to be able to move really securely into the middle class.
This is Tell Me More. I'm Corva Coleman in for Michelle Martin. We're discussing barriers faced by Latinas in terms of education. Our guests are Veronica Rivera, education policy attorney for MALDEF, Linda Chavez, and Claudia Sanchez, NPR's education correspondent. Veronica, there are several recommendations in the report about what could possibly be done to rectify this situation. Can you run down a few of them?
Correct, sure. First of all, in response to Claudia, one of the things that we are asking or recommending is that there be additional programs for parents and parents' involvement, because we do recognize that that is an issue. Sometimes they are not welcome in schools. There's also a language barrier. So there are programs that are being established throughout the nation to help parents become advocates for their children and get more involved to assist their children and especially Latina students in succeeding. The other thing is that one of the recommendations in terms of pregnancy, like I mentioned, that's one of the main causes that Latinas are not graduating, is that we have a more specific comprehensive sex educational programs instead of just abstinence-only programs. What we're seeing is that those are not working. And then we also recommend that that in terms of educational opportunities for Latina students, that they are provided programs where they are actually open to role models and getting career and college ready. That's something, again, because of the stereotyping that takes place, they are not sometimes recommended to go to college or sometimes geared into more of a technical background.
Claudia, let me jump to you for a moment.
Here's the bottom line for me, Corva. The greatest predictor of academic failure for all Latinos, not just young women, is the low educational attainment of their parents. In 40% of Latino households, the parents have less than 9 years of schooling. And going back to what Ms. Chavez was saying, we're talking about families who come from rural Mexico, from all other parts of Latin America, where they had little or no opportunity to go to school. And they come to this country, and there is a perpetuation, I think, of this mindset that, yes, education is important, it's key, but in reality, there is really no academic culture in the family to speak of. A third of Latino children in this country are being raised by their mother, usually a dropout herself if it's a second-generation Latino in this country, or a woman with little or no formal schooling. I think that that speaks to this enormous problem that really, in a way, it's, yes, you can do a lot to push schools to do more for these children, but in the end, it's really the families themselves and the community, the Latino community, that has to act before schools do. Because if you wait for schools to do something, they're going to be waiting, and in 10 years, we're going to be reading about the same or worse figures.
Linda Chavez, what needs to happen to address this issue of women in particular, I guess, not receiving as much education as needed to address this matter?
Well, Corva, let me just issue one cautionary note here, because, everything we're hearing is all very pessimistic, and I like to also look for the silver lining in the cloud. And one of the positive things about Latinos in the United States, both men and women, less women than for men, is their very high labor force participation rate. So when we think of high school dropouts, we often think of people who are dropped out of school, get involved with drugs, get involved with crime, become dependent on others. In fact, in the Latino community, there's a tremendous work ethic, tremendously high labor force participation rate, particularly among Latino men. And so I do want to sort of, you know, mention that. Many of these families are not encouraging girls to drop out, you know, to go on welfare. They're encouraging them to drop out, to go to school, to go to work, to be able to add to the family income. Having said that, Claudio's right, Veronica's right, that in terms of getting that foothold in the middle class, it is important to stay in school, because even though you might be able to go out before the recession anyway and get a $10 or $12 an hour job, the fact is that 10 years later, when you're in your 30s, that $10 an hour job is not going to be able to provide well for you and your family. And so staying in school means that you're going to get a better job, that you're going to have a real foothold in the middle class. And that is something that, you know, we can have a lot of social policies to encourage, but it does come back to the family, and it does come back to Hispanic families understanding the importance of delaying gratification, waiting, staying in school, and being able to get the skills needed to be able to be successful in the United States.
Veronica, I'm sorry, Claudia, go ahead.
I was just going to point out, you know, we need to remember that in this economy, there is very little opportunity for upward mobility. 85% of Latino households today are headed by a female dropout and living in poverty. I mean, that is, again, that speaks for itself.
Well, we're out of time, but thank you all for joining us. Our guests have been Claudio Sanchez, NPR's education correspondent, Veronica Rivera, the education policy attorney for MALDEF, and Linda Chavez, the chair for the Center for Equal Opportunity. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.